May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. Please be seated. If the conversations that I've been having lately are any indication, fear is the elephant in the room today. In the past week and a half, I've listened to people who are afraid, especially about the horrific situation in the Ukraine. Whether whistling through the graveyard with gallows humor or just stating it outright, people are fearful. Fearful for the future and for our children's future. Fear and anxiety are the undercurrents of our days and the monsters under our beds at night. It feels as though humanity itself has gone off the rails. So as we come together on this first Sunday in Lent, the questions therefore are big ones. Where is God in all of this? What does it mean to be human? And what are we called to do in these days of war and uncertainty? These are big questions. They're wilderness questions. Yeshua, full of breath, holy, returned from the Jordan. He was driven in the breath, in the wordless wilderness, days 40. He was examined by the slanderer. These gospel translations by Richard Swanson are always a little jarring, but not really in a bad way. Swanson hews closely to the original Greek, to the point that you almost feel as though you're looking at raw linguistic data, the gospel before it was tamed by King James. Swanson has stripped the prose from the familiar narrative and left only the poetry. Full of breath, holy, driven by the breath. Here's where the Holy Spirit ceases to be a complex theological construct and has become visceral, filling the body and at the same time blowing it forward, warm, intimate, insistent. In the wordless wilderness, here we have the Word of God Himself driven into wordlessness, solitude. Silence for 40 days. It's not the kind of silence that is comforting and comfortable, though. This silence is assessing, evaluative, judging. And he was examined by the slanderer. Swanson sees the devil in this passage here in the tradition of the book of Job as a member of the heavenly court who roams to and fro in the earth, inspecting and evaluating the integrity of God's creation. Swanson calls him a cosmic building inspector, but with a mean streak. This is a slanderer who has been given the task of examining this prospective Messiah to see how he'll measure up, and he has no intention of making it easy. This isn't about temptation and enticement, though. It's a qualifying examination. The wordless wilderness here is a combination of classroom and battleground. Jesus versus the slanderer. The Word of God versus the speaker of falsehoods. Jesus has been baptized in the Jordan. He has been claimed as God's beloved Son, and his ministry and his fate lie ahead of him. So how does this encounter prepare Jesus for what he will face in the next 3 years of his life? We often think of this episode as revealing more about Jesus' divinity as he goes toe to toe with the devil and zings him with perfectly chosen scripture passages. This perspective would show us the Jesus who knows the truth of what the devil is saying, but chooses not to give in to the temptation to exercise his divine power. But as I said, this isn't about temptation. Jesus' task here is not to pass a qualification exam about his divinity, but to show that he knows what it is to be human. Because this Messiah who will turn the world right side up by turning it upside down needs to show that he has the bona fides to stand not just toe to toe with the devil, but side by side with his fellow children of God. So, in the first part of this examination, Jesus is shown a stone and told to turn it into bread. He is confronted with a very human quandary of wants versus needs. Our tendency to want what we want when we want it. But we have to think, what is the true nature of our hunger? What compulsions and addictions mask the fact that we are trying to fill deeper, unacknowledged needs with material wants? He answered to him, Jeshua did, "It stands written, not on bread only will a person live." To be human is to acknowledge our hunger for God, a longing that cannot be met through quick life hacks or the most up-to-date iPhone. Part two of the examination is more subtle. The slanderer shows Jesus the kingdoms of the world. He said to him, the slanderer did, "To you I will give this authority, all this and all their glory, because to me it has been handed over, and to whom I choose, wish, I give it." Now this is customarily understood as the temptation of power. But it also presents Jesus with a compelling test of something else. Veracity. Veracity. The slanderer states with authority that all the kingdoms of the earth have been given to him. Have you ever really thought about that? Really? Really? Is this something the God who created everything and called it good, is this something that God would really do? No, I don't think so. And yet, whenever I have heard this story, I have never once thought to evaluate the truth of this statement until now. The slanderer makes it sound true. But as we have sadly discovered, it is possible to make lies sound like the truth if you tell people what they want to hear and speak with the veneer of authority. But Jesus calls the lie the lie. He tells the slanderer, God is God, and you are not. So to be human is to know the challenge of discerning truth from falsehood, to be regularly faced with the ethical, moral questions of power and justice and fairness. We're asked, what are the ends and the means in our lives and in society? How do we negotiate the bright and the fine lines that present themselves to us every single day, while we must remember that we become what we worship? Part three. Part three of the examination is the hardest because it goes straight to the heart of Jesus' ministry and fate. He drove him into Jerusalem. He stood him on the peak of the temple. He said to him, "Since son you are, son of Elohim, throw yourself from here down." Swanson writes, "Jesus is given the opportunity to claim an exemption to the limitations that make human life dangerous. If we fall, we break hips or shatter wrists. The law of gravity serves as a metaphor for our fragility, our mortality. We suffer pain, we break, and we can be killed. Jesus has just been offered a chance to be above all of that, and he refuses. The task of turning creation right side up will not be carried out by a Messiah who can fly or glow in the dark or rise above pain and mortality." Luke wrote this gospel in the aftermath of the first Jewish revolt against Rome beginning in the year 66. And according to ancient sources, it resulted in the death of 1 million Jews. Luke wanted to present his first century audience with a Messiah who stood with and among the broken and the grieving. Luke wanted them to know that in order to stand among the broken, Jesus was willing to be vulnerable and breakable himself. Because to be human is to be breakable. To be a human who follows the way of Jesus is to be willing to let our very hearts be breakable, to be broken open by the pain of another. So on this first Sunday in Lent, in these fearful and fearsome days when it seems that humanity has gone completely off the rails, we may well be wondering what it means to be human. It is indeed a temptation to let fear and despair define us, but that would be letting the slanderer control the narrative, wouldn't it? Fear and despair don't need to define us. Jesus offers us a different narrative, the narrative of bread and wine to feed and nourish our famished souls, the narrative of courage and perseverance to speak God's truth of dignity and justice, and the narrative of love and compassion to be God's hands of prayer and healing for the pain of the world. This is the narrative that Jesus calls us to hear in this season of Lent, and as he stands with us and with all who are breakable and broken in these anxious days and sleepless nights. W. H. Auden wrote a poem September 1st, 1939. It was written in response to the German advance into Poland. And here is the final verse. "Defenseless under the night, our world in stupor lies. Yet, dotted everywhere, ironic points of light flash out wherever the just exchange their messages. May I, composed like them of eros and of dust, beleaguered by the same negation and despair, show an affirming flame." This first Sunday in Lent, in the wilderness of our fear, let us pray to be light for the world. Amen.